Well, we're going to teach this morning, looking back over being led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Actually, probably one of the most important subjects in Scripture. We talk about being children of God, which is fine. But in Romans, Paul wrote into the church at Rome and said in Romans, the 8th chapter, he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." In other words, being born again, we are sons or a child of God. It's neither male nor female. You know, it doesn't matter. But we're children of God. And we need to understand this. But he makes the statement here, and we read the context of what he's writing about in Romans, the 8th chapter. And really, it deals with about being led by the Spirit. In other words, if I'm not led by the Spirit, I may be a child of God, but I may never live like a child of God. I may walk in the victory that I'm supposed to have. I may never walk in it. You need to understand this, how important that each believer, it's not important for just a minister to be led by the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit. You need to know what God's telling you to do. Somebody else can't answer those things for you. You have to find those things out for yourself. So you must learn to be led by the Spirit of God. That's a hugely important thing. Now, God wouldn't set up a system that you can't do. You know, one thing the Lord spoke to me about was this, is the fact of you being led by His Spirit is hugely important, because being led by the Spirit really is the greatest safeguard that you have. See, you're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. We talked about the fact, you know, you became a child of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You've been created in the likeness of image of God. In other words, your spirit has the nature of God in it. You know, the devil can't come and live in your spirit. He can't do that. He can't come. Your spirit doesn't have his nature, and he can't come in and live in your spirit. The devil, where he operates, is he operates through the sense realm. That's where he comes along. He operates through the senses. He operates on the outside of things. He tries to influence you and your beliefs by what's happening around you. See, this is where people are. So, you know, people, the Bible says, you know, and says, "Let the weak say I'm strong." See, that don't make any sense, because you might be feeling weak today. But what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the sense realm, or are you going to believe the Word of God? See, you have a choice in what you believe. The safety is in believing the Word of God, is getting the Word of God in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in communion and fellowship with your spirit. And see, if you're led by the Spirit, you're in a wonderful place, because there's nothing else to contain what is going on. See, the natural realm, the physical realm, can be tainted by a lot of things. So the Scripture says that there's many voices and none without significance. There's lots of things. There's people. You know, my flesh can tell me a lot of things. My flesh can tell me, you know, that I'm sick and gonna die. Well, or I can believe about the life of God on the inside of me. I have a choice. See, most people, they're tied to the outside. Life is on the inside. God's healing power is in your spirit. It's not in your body, per se. It's in your spirit. If you want it to activate into your body, you have to operate it out of your spirit. That's where it goes. That's where we believe in our heart and we say things with our mouth. We bring it out into the natural realm. But it's from your spirit it has to come. You may have the Word of God in your head. Your mind and talking ain't going to produce nothing. It ain't going to produce anything. It doesn't produce anything. It's what you believe in your heart. In other words, what's on the inside. Why? Because the power's on the inside. The Holy Spirit, that's our safeguard. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And if you come in contact with that, you're guaranteed you're going to get the right answers. You're guaranteed you're going to follow the right way. You're guaranteed. Because the devil can't mess with that. He's not involved in that. He can't come and move into your spirit and go and contaminate your spirit. He has no right to even do that. He can't do that. What he does is he comes and tries to get you to believe the things he's saying and get you to take it into your mind and say, "Yeah, what he said's true. Yeah. My feelings say I don't feel right, so things must not be right, because my body says I don't feel right. So I'm going to agree with my body, and I'm going to live today like I don't feel right. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to pray and believe God." Well, that's pretty much a laugh, a circus. That ain't going to be happening. See, you're going to have to decide. That's why we get the Word of God on the inside of us. We feed the inner man. See, you get the Word of God in you. The Word of God is this incorruptible seed. And then you get it inside your human spirit that has the nature of God and the Holy Ghost living in there. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Hallelujah. Something's going to explode. Something good's going to come out of that. Hallelujah. And that's what you need to understand. That's why you can't be led by your physical senses and have the divine. It cannot happen. It will never happen. See, most people pray and operate out of the natural. They're praying out of their mind. They're praying out of their feelings. Well, I feel bad, therefore, or this isn't right, or that isn't right. And this is what they're going to God on the basis of that. No, that's what I want to change. That's what I want to change. I want to change that. You know, you got to learn to live. You can't live by your feelings. Did you ever notice that? You live by your feelings, dear God. Just forget it. You're going to live a bad life. You ain't going to live a good life. You live by your feelings, that's a total impossibility. Will not happen. Can't live by your feelings. Dear Lord, my feelings will lie to me. My feelings will have me sinning. My feelings will have me mad at you just because you say something I don't like. And so then I'll get into sin and lose the blessing of God all over my stupid feelings. I'll get into unforgiveness and kick the answer to my prayer right out the door. All because of stupid feelings. You can't trust your feelings. Your feelings are not on your side. You understand that? Your feelings ain't on your side. My feelings have gotten me in trouble. Has yours ever done that? Well, laugh about it. My God, you've been dumb just like the rest of us, so it don't matter. Hallelujah, but we can change that. God has established a system, and that system is a perfected system. And it'll work every time if you're led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And God has established that you can be. You're born again. You have the nature of God. You need to talk these things. You need to say these things. You know, it's one of the things that I learned from Kenneth Hagin when I first got born again and listening to his tape about when he first got born again. And he would always tell people would come to him and they say, well, what happened to you? He'd say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, he became a new creature. And most people say this, well, I got saved. What on earth does that mean? To most people, getting saved means I got my sin forgiven. I ain't a changed person. I'm just a cleaned up sinner, and I'm going to act the same way I've been acting. No, he said, I'm a new creation. In other words, I'm a changed person. Well, I picked that up, man. Glory to God, I'm a changed person. I'm not the person I was. The guy that used to act like an idiot, he's dead. Hallelujah, I'm a new creation. Start talking like you're something new instead of the old thing that you were. Talk like you're new. See, get yourself over. Decree a thing. Hallelujah. Say something. Start acting in that direction. Hallelujah. I'm born again. The Spirit of God lives in me. Hallelujah. I'm a spirit being. Remember how we were confessing that the other week? We're a spirit being. We have a soul. We live in a body. Hallelujah. This body's just the house I live in. That's all it is. Hallelujah. This body is nothing but a house, and I can do what I want to change this house. Hallelujah. James said this, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. If your body's out of control, it's because of your big blab mouth. Wasn't that sweet? I'll tell you what. You're saying the wrong stuff. You're talking the wrong thing, and you're acting wrong. You're acting in line with the body. Instead of telling the body, you know, you need to start talking. I tell my body, I control you. You don't control me. I control you. See, decree a thing. Tell your body, body, I'm controlling you. You're not going to control me. Now, I say those things when it seems like my body is controlling me. I just, no, I control my body. See, you need to get yourself speaking. You need to walk in these things of faith. Faith ain't feelings. It isn't, oh, when everything's working right, then I can make a good decree. Well, I don't take no faith to do that. It's when things aren't working right. I just say, praise God, my body's obeying me. My body will obey me. The Bible said so. If I can control my tongue, my body will obey me. Glory to God. Body, you're just going to have to get in obedience in the name of Jesus. I'm in charge. Hallelujah. See, God's not in charge of your body. Do you know that? You are. Glory to God. Quit asking Him to do something about it. You start doing something about it. Hallelujah. Take authority over it. Hallelujah. Tell this dumb thing, sit down, shut up. Keep your blab mouth shut. You're only going to say what's right. You're only going to talk what I'm going to allow you to talk, okay? So, I tell you, I'm just going to say what's on my mind. Please don't do it. Don't give us a piece of your mind. You ain't got enough to give away. You ain't going to have nothing left. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, then again, that might be a good thing if some people can't. If your mind's full of dumb, maybe you ought to give it all away. Hallelujah. But control it. Let the inner man, see, the inner man has to say, you know, many times you need to understand yourself as this is a Christian. You're trying to operate over in the areas of faith and you're doing it in unbelief. You don't even realize that your inner man does believe what the Bible says. You just won't say it. You just keep talking your nonsense. You just keep acting on what you feel instead of acting on what the inner man says. Faith's already in you. You know, the Bible calls you a believer. Why treat yourself like you're not a believer? Well, I'm just having trouble believing. Would a believer have trouble believing? If they do, they're not a believer. We're believers. The Bible calls you a believer. Don't you call yourself something else. I never call myself anything else. I have enough trouble without lying about the Bible. Hallelujah, I'm a believer. I've always said this. It's easy for me to believe. Why? Because I'm a believer. It's absolutely simple for me to believe. I'm designed to believe. You're designed. You were born again and made like God to believe God's Word. That's the way you were designed. That's the way you were made. Believing the Word of God's the easiest thing in the world for you to do. It's nothing hard. But see, when people get over and think in their mind, well, my mind's having a hard time. You're going to find out you're always going to be in a battle about your mind. Because your mind's going to want to try to creep over to the place of natural reasoning. I mean, that's just, why? Because you're in a physical world with things happening and going on, and your mind may go and wants to get over there. But you don't have to play in that area. You can decide and say, no, I believe the Bible says is true. See, I have a choice and you have a choice. You know, when somebody says something, I have a choice when I hear it, whether I want to believe it or not. The devil don't come along and say, you're not allowed to believe that. I mean, if you're dumb enough to buy that, I mean, you're pretty stupid. But you have a choice whether you believe it. When I read the Bible, every time I read the Bible, I have the choice that I'm going to believe what it says is true. It's a simple thing. I have that choice. People say, well, I just have a hard time believing. What do you mean about that? Any old newscaster says any stupid thing, you believe it in a second. But we look at the Bible, say, I'm just struggling to believe. This is God, and I can hardly believe if what He said is true. I'm having a struggle with it. I mean, think about that nonsense. That don't make any sense at all. Yeah, I believe He's God, but you might not be able to trust what He says, you know. But I'll tell you what, if Walter Cronkite said it, boy, we could believe that one. I'll tell you what, if we, you know, so-and-so says it, you know. Fox News said, or this guy said, or that guy. Oh, yeah. Well, then I heard so-and-so say, and they lied about it, but we believed it. You see, it's an easy thing to believe. You have a choice. I have the choice of anything I want to believe. God created us like that. And see, to me, this is the most wonderful thing. I never struggled to believe. What I struggle with sometimes is what my flaky mind wants to do. But my inner man never struggles about believing the Word of God. Never struggles whatsoever. My inner man is born of God and loves the things of God. Thinks they're pretty exciting. Really likes them. Wants to walk in them and do them. And just like yours does. Your inner man wants to do the Word of God so bad, and some of you have done everything you can to keep it from doing what it wants to do. And saying you're trying to believe. My God, the inner man is believing. Agree with him. Hallelujah. Get in contact. Go past that flaky mind of yours. I know yours is like mine. It'll think dumb stuff. You know, you can sit, you as a Christian, you can sit down and be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden the dumbest thought comes to your mind. It is so stupid and flaky. And you'll think, where on earth did that come from? But you have a choice. You can play along with it, or you can say, no, we ain't going there. and say, no, I'm reading the Bible. This is what I believe. You have the choice. And so it's not a hard thing. See, you were created, and always get in, say it concerning yourself. See, you were created to believe God's word. It's not hard for you to believe. You can believe it's true. See, you have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, if you think you're just a cleaned up sinner, in fact, that's what the majority of the church preaches, that we're just cleaned up sinners. That's most of the doctrine of the church today. It's not about the new birth. We just are forgiven of our sins. That's what we got. And most Christians live like all they ever got was forgiveness of sin, because they just have sin they're always trying to get forgiven for all the time. The new birth isn't hardly preached. Most people come and they think they're going to heaven because they got their sins forgiven and they've never been born again. And they ain't going to heaven, and they're going to be shocked, because they won't go to heaven. You don't get born again because you get sins forgiven. You got to become born again. You got to take a new nature on. You got to take the nature of God. Hallelujah. See, we believe in the new nature, don't we? Hallelujah. That's what we believe. See, I believe in the new nature. I needed a new nature. I didn't need washed up. I needed more than a wash up. Hallelujah. I needed to be changed. Glory to God. And that's what God looked at humanity and said, man needs a new heart. His ain't worth anything. It's worthless. See, a cleaned up heart isn't no good. Israel had that. Once a year, they got all their sins forgiven. And you know what they did? Lived like hell all over again. That's what religious people do. Washed up people just go back to their old life again. Hallelujah. People get born again. You know what they do? They got a new life. Hallelujah. They live a new life. They live a different life. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? See, that was a big thing. It's my wife, you know, when I got born again. This is the thing with her. And when I asked her, when she finally, after a couple of months after I was born again, she got born again. And I asked her, she told me one night, I came home from work at Reese's. I was on second shift and I came home and she told me she had accepted Christ. And I asked her why she did. She said, at first, she said, I thought you were just going through another one of the phases of your life. But she said, I'm living with a different man. I'm going to tell you, anybody told you that they're saved and they're basically the same old person? That's a lie. They never got saved. You get saved, you get a changed life. I got saved, I got a changed life. I was a different person. I wasn't the same no more. I don't know, my wife could tell. She ain't living with the same man, and she wasn't. She wasn't living with the same guy anymore. And you know what? When she got saved, she became changed. She wasn't the same anymore. So now we had two people that weren't like the same anymore. Two living in the same household that weren't the same anymore. Today, the church is filled with people they call Christians who never changed. They still live the same old way. They still follow the same old. There's no change. They never got born again. They got their sins forgiven. That's all they ever got preached to them was forgiveness of sin. They never got preached the new birth. Hallelujah. Because you become a new creature. When you become a new creature, you got the witness of the Holy Ghost in you. Now, wouldn't that change your life if God moved in? There should be a little difference, I would think. Now, I would just think that if God showed up in somebody's life, there could be a little bit of difference. And see, when God showed up in my life, it was an enormous difference. See, this is all about being led by the Spirit. If you don't have these basics in you, you're always going to struggle trying to be led by the Spirit. You got to come to the place that you know what you are. Hallelujah. My God, you're a lot better than you thought. You have a lot more glory than you thought you had. Hallelujah. Many times what the Lord had said to me years ago, He said, my people keep trying to get what they already have. See, people are always trying to get something. They're always trying to get in a glory when they already got one. Hallelujah. You're born again. See, when I got born again, the nature, you know, it is within my born again nature to be healed. Healing is not an added on product to salvation. It is part of salvation. When I got born again, it was within the nature of my own born again spirit is to minister healing to my body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead moved in to quicken my mortal body on the day I got born again. Healing was to be natural. See, I started walking in divine healing when I first got born again. And I was able to do that because I had it preached to me that it was already in me. It wasn't, healing ain't a sideline with God, that it's something, you know, it isn't quite as necessary as being born again. It is part of born again. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Peter said he took our sins on the cross. And by his stripes we were healed. He didn't say, well, yeah, by his stripes you were healed, but that wasn't near as important as that sin thing over there on the cross. No, that's the church. That's the preaching of the church. The church is always minimizing the glory of God. Religion always does. Religion will always talk you out of all the good God gave you. Hallelujah. Make you feel unworthy. You know, you really don't deserve. You know, God wants you sick for a reason. No, God wanted you healed for a reason. He wanted you healed for a reason. That's why He put it right in redemption. That's why He threw it smack dab in it. Hallelujah. See, you know, when I found out that I had healing, I never searched for healing again. See, I never searched for healing. Healing's in the nature. It's in the divine nature. Read the Bible. It says you have the divine nature. That you've escaped the corruption in the world through lusts. Hallelujah. You've escaped. It didn't say, no, you got caught in them. You're caught in the lust. That's it. You're caught in them. It said you escaped them. Glory to God. Why? Because you have the divine nature. How could you have the divine nature and God wants you sick? Ain't that stupid? He's going to have to explain that one to me. I mean, glory to God. And you have the divine nature. That's what you have. See, we're talking about what you already got. See, when you understand what you got, it's going to come down to you to this. My God, I can hear the Holy Ghost. Lots of times we haven't heard the Holy Ghost because our mind's full of lots of nutty stuff, nutty beliefs, crazy beliefs about stuff, and we fall for it. We're always trying to become what we are. When I found out what I was, I didn't have to become nothing anymore. Hallelujah. Is it being a child of God enough? I'm a child of God, but you know, it just ain't enough. No, a real child of God, the nature of God, the Holy Ghost. Just say, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost. What could I need more? Think about it. What do you need more? Is there something that, what would He hold out from you? See, that's when people talk about the blessing of God, whether it's finances or whatever it be. When people get over there, God made you His child. He seated you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In other words, He gave you the same authority Jesus has in this earth. He gave it to you. That seating at the throne of God is not a place that you can sit down and rest. That's not a place up there. It's a hammock between two trees and there's somebody up there waving, you know, a palm branch over you while you rest. It's for your authority is in the earth. You can cast out demons. And so the devil don't dominate and rule you in this place. So you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. If you eat any deadly thing, it ain't going to harm you. That's what all that stuff's about. And see, God already, He seated you at that. He gave you that authority. He placed you there. You're not trying to get that authority. You're supposed to receive it. He's not trying to send you that authority. He's not going to send you nothing. He already gave it to you. That's why Paul prayed for the church, the first prayer in Ephesians, the first chapter. That prayer deals with Christ being seated in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name its name. And that says, and He gave what the head over all things to the church, which is His body. See, all that authority is about the church. See, Jesus ain't coming down to the earth to cast out demons. He'll never do it. He ain't casting out demons. That's our job. We have been given the authority. You and I have. He's not going to say, well, if you get really good and spiritual, I'll give you the authority. No, the authority is given. You got to take it. You got to receive it and say, yep, it's mine. Glory to God, I got it. I have the authority to cast out devils. I'm not trying to get authority to cast out devils. I have the authority. It was given when I got born again, when you got born again. The day that you got born again, you may not have known you could do that, but it had already been given to you. That's why we study the Word to find out what we have, not what we didn't get. It's to find out what He's given to us, what He has already given to you. Hallelujah. It was all in the new birth. When you got born again, everything that God had for every believer was already packaged for you, and it was in the new birth. And now on top of that, the most wonderful thing, God put the Holy Ghost, the teacher, in there to teach you all that belongs to you. And people are struggling to try to find out, Oh man, do you think God really wants, you think God really wants me to have a new car? Do you think, you know, that there, I mean, that might be a bit out of reach, you know. God likes me, but I don't really need a new one. You said that He didn't. God said He'd supply all your need according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. If you decide you don't need one, that's you. Don't throw it over on God and say, well, God didn't want me to have one. You chose that. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, it doesn't say whatever thing God desires for you when you pray. It don't say that. That's made up by religion. Jesus said, whatever you desire, what is your desire? If you're willing to go with just bologna sandwiches, well then eat them. But don't go lying on God and say He's the one that only wants you to have bologna sandwiches. Don't go lying and pulling that junk. You determined that. You decided that through your religious beliefs. You see, we let religion come over and rob, and that's what the devil does. The devil uses religion to come and rob you of all the good that God said you can have. And the devil will come along and say, well, yeah, you know, you don't want to get over there where you don't want too much stuff. You don't want to have too many things, you know, and that stuff. Well, I've watched this with people. You know, some of the most covetous people I ever met in my life are poor people. The most covetous people, they're always after somebody else's stuff all the time. Most covetous people you ever want to run into. That's why a lot of them can't ever get out of being poor. Because you don't ever get out of covetousness. Because covetousness is idolatry. The Bible said so. Because they're worshiping stuff. I know people have all kinds of stuff, but they ain't greedy. They're not. They're great people. They're givers. And they're good people. See, you don't measure nothing. See, religion is a, this thing I hate about religion, because religion's always trying to get you to give it its money so you don't sin. You know, you give it all to religion. And then the people that run the religion, they get rich. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Let's get real with it. You're not supposed to. Because it might turn you into something weird. But they can handle it. Oh, yes. Give it to them. They'll drive the new car. They'll have the good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I wanted you to see what you are, what you have. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you need to know how God is. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. He's not different than the Father or the Son. Is He different? Is He a different God? No, He's going to lead you directly in line with their truth. That's what He's going to do. He's going to lead you directly in line with that. So what He's going to do, He's going to take. He's not going to show you that you're a low life. Now look, the Holy Ghost in you will correct you. If you're out of line, He'll correct you. But it isn't trying to keep anything from you. It's so you can have everything that is in salvation for you. That's what He wants to do. He wants you to be able to get a hold of everything that salvation has for you. So this is one thing. See, you never have to become covetous about the things of God and what God has to offer. You don't, why? Because His intent is for you to have it. That's His intent. So you don't have to just, oh, people say, well, you know, they don't want too much. No, I want whatever God has offered to me. I want to find out about it. I want to find out what all He's given. Isn't it sort of stupid? I mean, if somebody said, hey, you know what? I left you a bank account and I put it in it. Well, I don't want to find out how much money is there. I'm going to be real humble. And what's everybody else going to say? What's wrong with that knucklehead? Well, in a sense, that's been the church. What's wrong with that knucklehead that has not found out what belongs to them? That's always trying to act like God's holding back, that God's withholding. You know, it's one thing is, out at Randall Greer's meeting is something he talked about with the Lord, dealt with me a long time ago about this and the subject. That God is not, people talk about this last day revival, that it is something coming. It's not something coming. It's something that's here. We have to receive it. It's already here. It's already here. We haven't received it. We're waiting for God to do it instead of acting like God has done it and start acting like it's true, start acting like the glory's here. We're going to wait. We're going to talk that the glory's here when we see it. People of faith. When we see something happen, oh yeah, then it's here. Like I said, I am so tired of hearing these ministers kicking this thing down the road. Well, yeah, this is going to happen and that. Way down yonder, this will come. And I'll tell you what, they'll be 20 years later and they'll be saying the same stuff. It's already here. Now, I know that it's here because the 14-day prophecy the Lord gave me, because the Lord back in August said in 14 days, concerning me, I would begin to walk in everything, and I prayed. Well, I had been talking to him. I was saying, Lord, I took to him and I said, Lord, you said these things are going to happen in this outpouring. I want these things. I want them now. I want this stuff. And you know what? Lord said, you're going to walk in them. So they must be here. I couldn't walk in them, could I? Could you walk in them if it ain't here? No. Now I have this job. I got to start acting like they're here. I got to start acting like I'm already walking in them, hallelujah, if I want them to manifest, and you too. Because see, I wasn't praying just for me. I was praying for the church. See, and as long as people keep waiting for a move of God, next year you're going to be waiting, and the next year you're going to be waiting, and the next year you're going to be waiting, and the next year you're going to be waiting. No, glory to God, it's here. Hallelujah. In 1950, the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to him and said, America's in having its last revival. You know, we're already in the last revival. Did you know that? 1950, the Lord said we were. Does the church believe that today? No, they don't believe that. He said, you're in the time of the miraculous. He didn't say you're going to be one day. He said, you're in the time of the miraculous. Is the church believing that they're in the time of the miraculous? No. And they're talking about faith. The faithless church keeps talking about faith. We're already in the time of the miraculous. It's pretty miraculous that I should have been a dead man and I was alive in the hospital. That's pretty miraculous. That's pretty miraculous the doctors didn't know what to do with that dead man who was still breathing and talking to him. Hallelujah. Why? We're in the time of the miraculous. We're in the time of the miraculous. We're not trying to arrive there. We're in it. See, we need to change. We need to come in line with what's on the inside of us. I'm going to tell you what, there's revival in you. We're not trying to get revival in us. My God, the inner man wants to turn loose. He wants to do something. The inner man on the inside says, let me go. Hallelujah. This is one of the things God's trying to get us to decree things and start to say stuff, because if we don't start saying the right stuff, if we keep talking what these main ministers keep saying about revival, we're not going to see it. We need to quit listening to these knuckleheads about this stuff. They don't know. I don't care who they say. There has never been any major move of God has come through any major ministries ever. It never happens. Why? Because they get set in their ways. God uses them in a certain way and they won't change. And they stay in that same path, and God wants to do something. Well, they like it over there because they got a big name and they got a lot of stuff doing this, certain things, and they'll just keep doing them. I don't care what I have or what I think I'm going to lose. I want what God wants to do. It doesn't matter what I want to do. I want a move of God where people stop and say, you know what? Ed could have never performed any of that. Ed could have never done any of that. It had to be God. Because Ed ain't bright enough. He ain't smart enough. But his God is. Hallelujah. See, we didn't want to arrive at most people, we want to look intelligent in front of the people. I don't care what people think anymore. I don't care. It don't matter. You know, if people think you're crazy, you're probably the brightest guy in town. If people think you're smart, it's quite like you're an idiot. You're just with the crowd. Because that's the only ones they think are smart. You have to be in their boat. Hallelujah. My words. Do you think most people think you're intelligent coming here? Dear Lord. No, they like their church that keeps patting them on the back and keeps telling them they're all right the way they are when they ain't going nowhere and doing nothing. And that's what they like. The old pat on the back church. That's what most churches are. Keep you the same way dead. Keep you the same way as the dead minister is. Keep you walking in your death. Okay. Never tell you the glory that's in you. Why? Because you might turn out better than the minister. We wouldn't want that, you know. My God, you might go further than the preacher. Well, no, we got to hold people down. We got to keep them bound within something. We can't have glory breaking out. My God. Well, I want glory breaking out. My God, just turn loose, whatever. We want glory breaking out. That's what we desire. And you have glory in you. You have something in you. Now, not something you're trying to get. It's something that's in you now. Hallelujah. You're born of God. You have the nature of God. Think about it. The nature of God. You know what God's nature is? Look at God in the beginning of creation. God spoke and it came to pass. So you're created in the same manner. You believe and say it, come to pass. That's what God's created us to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Born again, children of God, full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We're designed as people. The Bible tells us in John the 15th chapter that the glory that God gets when we get our prayers answered. Hallelujah. That's what God likes when we get our prayers answered. That's the fruit of a prayer answered. He talks about producing fruit. And what's the producing of the fruit? Your prayers get answered. Most Christians are just they almost don't know what to do with themselves if they ever get a prayer answered. They don't know what to do about it. God said, Jesus acted like it was supposed to be the norm, that God's excited that you get your prayer answered. Well, then is God working against answered prayer? Could he possibly be working against it? When his glory is you getting your prayers answered. You get the fruit of your prayer. Oh, my. Hallelujah. See, it would be dumb for God to operate against you. He created you to produce. And then he's going to try to keep you from producing. Isn't that a bunch of nonsense? Hallelujah. Well, he's trying to humble you. This is how God humbles you. He gets your prayer answered. That's humbling. Hallelujah. That the God of heaven answers Ed's prayers. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God. You know what? It makes me want to go back to him again. Does it make me not want him anymore? Now, if you get your prayers answered, that's like every time you went to a bank, they put money in your account you never asked for. But they just put you, I wouldn't want to go back to that bank again, you know. God who answers your prayer, and what's going to happen? You ain't going to want him anymore. Now, isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard? You know, people don't want God anymore. They went to some stupid church where some stupid minister told them that God don't answer your prayer, and they don't go back no more. Why? Because why go back? God may not answer it. Who wants to trust and follow a God? I remember as a young boy, all the knucklehead adults in the church, and they were all knuckleheads. The best minister that they got in the church, he dies of cancer as a young man. And all of them said God took him. And I was a young boy thinking, I hate God. He takes the best of the bunch and he kills them and lets me with all the rest of the idiots. Who wants that God? God takes the good. See, the good die young. See, most Christians live and believe a lie. They live and follow things that aren't true. They're believing, you know, they go down. I hate to even go to funerals. If I'm not preaching them, I don't even like to go to them. Because you always have the knucklehead minister stand up in front. Well, God took them for a reason. Oh, it makes you just want to slap somebody. I mean, you just want to take him out back and just slap him for about a week. You know, wake up, you stupid space cadet. God killed him. God's killing people. What chance do we got if God's in the killing business? What chance do you have? What chance do I have? Dear Lord. You know, tomorrow he might wake up and say, you know what? Let's knock it out today. I'll tell you, we've had enough of him. Let's get him. Who do I trust? See, then people say, well, we trust God. How can you trust somebody who's untrustworthy? You see, this is all about being led by the Spirit, folks. How are you going to be led? Because the Holy Ghost is God. Why would I listen to somebody that wants to lead me that's not on my side? That's not trying to help me, that is working against me? You see, you got to break the bonds of those things. This is all bondage. And we got to stop and break it and say, look, this is not true. This is not our God. My God made me like he is, and he put the Holy Ghost in so I can walk in all that he has. That's why, see, you know, I can die, and I'll get my life back. See, if I die to my stupidity, I might get raised up with a bit of sense. That's what I want to do. I want Ed to die to Ed, hallelujah, and live to God. Glory to God. And I'll have good sense. And the Holy Spirit is in me for that purpose. And he's in you for that purpose. That's why you can give your life up. Hallelujah. It wasn't a very good one anyhow. Hallelujah. You can give it up and you can have his life. Well, which would you like to have? Okay. God's life, Ed's life. Yeah, boy, that was a real contest. See, when we read about that dying, like, I'm going to lose. I can't lose on this deal. The only thing I can do is win. The more I can give up of me, the more I can have of him. It's like, oh, my. Say, Ed, what have you been holding back for? You've been stupid. What on earth have we been doing? See, that's why lots of people can't get healed. They just keep hanging on to their life. I gave my life up a long time ago, and I got his life and his life's health. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God. Make you want to shout, glory. See, it's what you have, what God has given to you. See, when he says to you, then being led by the Spirit of God, it's like, my. How does God want to lead me? Well, just look at how good God is, what he is. The Holy Ghost, he ain't a different God. He leads you in line with what God said. Hallelujah. He leads you into all the truth, the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit leads you into truth. All the truth. Well, Jesus said what the truth was. He said, my word, the word is truth. That's what it is. He's going to lead you into everything that the word said. Everything that God gave you, everything through the new birth that God gave you, that Jesus won through his death, burial, and resurrection for you. All the glory. See, that's why Jesus said, you pray, God's will is done in earth like it is in heaven. Well, is there anything bad in heaven? Anything at all? No, we talk about heaven so wonderful. Yet down here, God's killing people. Down here, God's doing it. And God said, we're supposed to pray that heaven's stuff is down here with us. And the church keeps going and preaching that hell's stuff is here and God put it here. We're supposed to pray for God's will to be done here in the earth like it is in heaven. Well, how many hospitals are in heaven? Any cancer clinics? Any of that stuff? Is there any of them up there? Wow. Isn't that odd, though? My, isn't that weird? God said, pray to his will. Why? Just like heaven's full of healing, earth's full of healing. But, you know, God don't want us to have wealth. I mean, he only got streets of gold. God, you know, earth like heaven. Earth like heaven. Is there supposed to be any lack or want? No. There's not supposed to be. Lack and want exists on this earth, and it's a shame. A lot of it exists because of the church. Because the church preaches lack and want. That there's some kind of holiness of being poor. Poverty is demonic. People suffer. Look at this world, the people that suffer in poverty. Look at the world, the suffering children of this world because of poverty. And the church, well, God don't want you to have too much. Well, if he don't want me to have much, I don't have much to give. So if I don't have much to give, there ain't much I can do to help. See, that's why there is an insanity in the church. I am convinced that many are not born again because the insanity that people live and they believe is all demonic stuff. It's not heavenly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God filled you with the heavenly. Throw out every thought of the demonic and of the evil. Throw every thought of poverty, sickness, and anything that it brings. Whatever sin has brought to humanity, you throw those things out and you take the glory that God gave you. Hallelujah. It's already in you. There, I want you to think about this, the nature and desire. Just think about the nature and desire of man, even as a sinner. As a sinner, because he's a human being in the earth, will have a desire, will always want to fight to live. Why would you have the desire to fight to live if sickness was such a good thing and did so many wonderful things? That would be an exact opposition to God. God wants you dead and you have a desire to live. You'd be in opposition to God. That'd be a sin. It'd be a sin for you to want to get well and God wanted you dead. It'd be a sin. See, we got to change. There's so much in thinking, so much in opposition. See, it's within your nature. It's in your nature to live. It's one of the things is just in the flesh itself. I remember years ago when I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about it, he said, the flesh itself recoils against death. He said, even though you're a Christian, you know you're going to die and go to heaven, the flesh recoils. Why? Because it was never created that man was supposed to die at all, begin with, even physically. He wasn't supposed to die. Sin brought death. So the flesh is in opposition. Your own sinful flesh is in opposition to death. And then we say God's trying to kill us. It makes no sense. Why? Because everything runs cross grain to it. Man has a desire to have things, to want more, to have enough food. Man has a desire to want to do something for somebody. Man, that's within the nature. That's God's nature. That's the nature of God working. Anything outside of that is a perversion. It's within your nature. Now think you got born again. And see, the great wonder to me is when I got born again, I had this desire to give. I wanted to give stuff. To me, that was incredible. Because I never had that. See, when I was a sinner, all I had was what could I get? And I got born again. And see, the nature of God, that's the nature is given. And I had this overwhelming desire in me to want to give. I thought that was the strangest thing. To me, it was like, my God, am I a different person or what? I'd wonder, I think, man, I just had this desire. I used to think, I never had this before. I never thought in that way before about what I could do to give. It was always a taker. I was a taker. See, I knew the nature changed. Why? That's the divine nature. The divine nature is to give. See, I don't understand people that are Christians that are tightwads and giving. I don't understand Christians that fight over the thing of tithing, whether it's for you or not. I know this, when they do that, it's because they may not have the nature of God in them, and they're selfish and self-centered. Well, what, did I get a different nature? Did I get a different born again than somebody else? No. I had the nature I wanted to do something. That's why I became a new creation. I wasn't the old knucklehead that I was. I wasn't selfish and self-centered. I wanted to do something for somebody else. It was within the nature. It was in the God nature in me. See, I wasn't trying to become a giver. Why? The love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. We're not trying to get that to happen. When you get born again, that happens immediately. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Why? You have the nature of God. What is the nature of God? Love. What's the nature of God? Giving. Because that's love. That's your nature. See, that's what you have. You're not trying to attain to it. What you need to do is come in contact with it. That's why you want to hook up on the inside. Because it isn't just being led by the Spirit. You want to be led by the nature that you have in you. The Holy Ghost moves in line with that nature. That's what He moves in line with. Well, He has to. Would He be in opposition to the nature of God in you? No. That's what He moves in line with. So I know that the Holy Ghost is going to move in line with the nature of God that's inside of me. I know that. He's going to move in line with that. He's going to move in the line with the things of giving. He's going to deal with me in about areas because He wants me to fulfill my desires concerning giving. So what is He going to do? He's going to show me how to do that. Because, see, I have the desire because I have this desire to give. So there's a thing that has to happen. If I give, then it has to be given to me because I'm going to have the desire to give so I can't run out of enough stuff to give. So, what a vicious circle. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. This vicious circle of given and it's given unto you, that system must work. It has to, or you could never fulfill your desires in giving. See, that's what the Lord told me back in 2014 when He said to me, I asked Him and He talked about Him supplying my need. I said, because you get over away with really what's in your heart. And I said, well, Lord, what is my need? You know, some people think if I have $100 and all my bills are paid, well, I'm just really doing good. Well, God said, no. He said, you have to have enough to give to every good work. He said, you got that into your spirit. He said, you've confessed that till He said, that's in you. And He said, you're never going to be happy till you can fulfill that. See, a lot of people have never decreed enough of anything to get anything in the inside. You've got to get stuff on the inside of you. See, with me on the inside, and this is what the Lord said to me, you're going to need millions. That's what He said to me. And I said, well, Lord, what about this thing? How far do you go? He said, this has nothing to do with me. It's how far you want to go with it. Oh, it's how far I want to agree and take this, how far I want to do with it. How far I want to go. So see, I need a lot of money. So what I do is give. Now see, I need to start acting in faith. Wanda and I give like we have more money than we have. Why? Because we don't give on the level of what we have. We give on the level of what we want. That's my nature. That's the nature of faith. Faith don't give on the nature, the level that it has, or you're only going to have what you have. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, Wanda and I learned to give on the level we want. We got so good at it, we didn't have it coming in at the level that we should have. And the Lord said to me, you don't receive at the level you give. In other words, your giving is way above what you have coming in. And then he told me what to do to change that so I could bring it in at a higher level, which means I could give at a higher level. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we've been working on it from year to year. Like last year, we gave about a third of our income away. See, people talk about tithing. I'm trying to figure out how to live on 10% and give the rest of it away. I want to have a 10% that is so big that I can have do anything that I want and have all that over there given to God. That's what I want to learn to do. See, most people are just, we give our and just get blessed and that. It depends where you want to go. It's in your, it's not in God's hands. It's in your hands. Hallelujah. But you got to learn to give at the level that you want. You don't give at the level that you have. You give at the level you want. Which means it may make your flesh a little uncomfortable sometimes. But you know what? Wanda and I have gotten over that. I mean, we went through the years of that, you know, trying to get past a slapping the flesh down and stepping over there to that. But now it's like, this is the way it is. This is what you do. You know, and every once in a while, the flesh will rise up and say, hey, you might be going a little too far. And then you say, okay, we're going to give more. Boy, does that make your flesh shut up? You want to shut your flesh up and the devil? The devil says you're giving too much. Well, then we're going to increase our giving. Boy, he will not say a thing again because he don't want God's people. He don't want them getting blessed too much. He'll shut up quick. The reason he talks to some people so much about it is because they listen to him all the time about it. The devil talks to me about it, I just give more. I just said, well, okay, then we need to up that. I learned that one from Kenneth Hagin. He said the Lord told him one time, and he didn't have much, and he said the Lord told him to give this minister this offering, and basically it was everything he had. Told him to give this offering, and he said, devil talked to him about it. He said, figured out a way. He said, I knew the devil would get mad about this, so he said, we figured out a way to be able to give this guy some more money. And he said, make the devil mad. And he said, he shut up after that. He never talked to me about it again. See, you step beyond it. See, the devil will always trying to get you out there. Hallelujah. And see, what you got to learn is to go beyond him. Hallelujah. Lose that fear. God, you know, we have, and it talks about, when it talks as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It says right out after that, you didn't receive the spirit of fear to bondage again. Fear to walk in what's in your spirit is not of God, that's the devil. You didn't receive a spirit of fear. You didn't receive that of bondage again to fear. You received a spirit that calls God your daddy. That's what you got. That's the spirit you have. Hallelujah. You know, we hear people say, well, you can't outgive God. Most people that I ever heard say that never tried it once in their life. They never tried to outgive. They say we have these religious statements out here, you can't outgive God. Well, we can tell by what people give to what they really do believe about that. It's like I had to prove myself at times because I thought, yeah, you can't outgive God. And I used to think, you know, I'm not acting like that. You ever been there? You ever been there? See, people throw those nice cliches out there, but 90% of them would say I don't believe them at all. Because they give like God ain't got enough. Look, I've been there, folks. I'm not telling you something. I've been there where my flesh is saying, ooh, you're getting out there a little bit, Ed. You're going there a little too far. My words. You know, you folks gave us a great offering, but we gave a great offering away. I'll tell you, until we're done with this, most all of it's going out. And I thank God for it. That way you get blessed for it and I get blessed for it. And I'll just get more in and so will you. This is a vicious circle and I love it. Hallelujah. I love it. Hallelujah. Why not make more out of it? Hallelujah. To me, it's like investment. That's what it is. It's like investment. I'm investing it. Why? Because there's a payback to it. Now people say you shouldn't give to get. I didn't start the system. God did. He made the system. I can't help it works that way. But I know this. If I want to get more, I have to get more back. I have to. Or you can't give more. It can't happen. So does God, all God doesn't want me to be is covetous. But if I can give and I can let things pass through me, I will never be covetous. If I can do that. Nobody's ever been a good giver and been covetous. It's never happened. People who are covetous are the ones who are tight-handed. They're the covetous ones, not the ones giving. It's the ones who are afraid to give, afraid they aren't going to have enough, afraid it's not going to work, afraid God's not going to take care of me. See, you don't want to go to that place. You don't want to limit God. Because God's going to take you to places. Why? Because He wants to put more in your hand. It's within your nature for Him to prosper you. That's the nature that's in you. That's why within yourself, don't you have your desire to have more, want more? You should not, I, as a Christian, I've never been satisfied. I'm never satisfied. I'm always going for more. I always, not just, I'm talking about money, just anything, spiritually, things I want to walk in and do. That's the nature of the desire that's in me. God put that in there. That's in you. That's the way it is. To become more like my dad. Isn't that within you to be more like your dad? To want more? To just, there's a pushing within you more? Not being satisfied? And I thank God for all He does. But there's a craving within me that I haven't reached far enough. You know, here lately I've been doing a lot, huge amount of times of praying and in the Word and stuff. Spend lots and lots of time. And you know, the more I do it, the more I want. The more I have a desire, and I pray, and I think, gee, I should be reaching out for more. Why? Because you can't get over in the spirit realm without running into more. God's realm is just, it's got everything you could ever possibly want or ever think of. So when you reach out into it, your nature begins to, inside of you, sees that, and it's like, gee, we ain't got enough yet, for sure. Now, it's got more in me. That's just the way it is. That's a divine nature. You see more of what your daddy is, and you say, my God, I got to get me more like him. Shoo-hoo. Man, I've been on a little scale. I got to get bigger on this thing. That's what you run into, to be more and more like your dad. That's the nature within you. See, being led by the Spirit is a wonderful thing. It's not laborious. Anything that you do to bring you to the place to hear what God wants you to do and walk in, it is always, number one, He will lead you how to bless other people and other things so He can bless you. It always works through a giving process. I don't just study and do all this stuff and praying. It isn't about me. Lots of stuff that I pray about and I go after God. How's it about you guys? But see, I have to be able to say, if I want to get more, I got to sow more into you guys. This is the way the system works. See, I learned this back as a young Christian because I asked the Lord one time. I said, Lord, I said, why is it? I said, revelation comes to me so easy. And I said, I know, I was in a church with a pastor and he struggled with revelation all the time. He just struggled and struggled. And I said, the Lord said, how come it is with me? I said, revelation of the word just comes so easy to me. It just flows. He said, because, he said, when you get revelation, he said, you just give it away. But see, I noticed there's people, they get things from God. See, I worked with people naturally the same way. They were on jobs. I remember Reese Candy Company. We had people, they worked for years on certain jobs and they were very good at it. But they never wanted to train anybody else or teach anybody else. Don't let them, you know, I'm going to keep, I don't want them know, you know, they might take my job. Well, every one of those people, we wanted somebody to take their job because you don't want people like that around. You see, when somebody is always trying to keep heart something to themselves, and keep, you don't, that's not the nature of God. The nature of God is to bless somebody else, is to do, is to help somebody else attain. Because I know this for a fact. If I help you attain, I will attain. I'm tied into pouring into other people. That's what the gift's about. The gift's not about me. Revelation comes because I give revelation. I don't need revelation if I don't give it away. I don't need it. The gift is to give it. The gift is to share it so others can have it. That's its purpose. And that's the whole thing. That's the nature of love of God. That's what the nature is. It's always going to be to you. He's going to work in you to get you to give so He can give you more. It's not just money. It's everything in the kingdom operates that way. That's the way love is. Love gets you to do something so God can bless you, so God can do more for you. That's the way the nature. You don't want to ever stop that nature from working. That's why, is it? You know, I have a great interest in other people being healed. That's been one of the things that's helped me in my healing in my life. There's a lot of people, one of their problems is they have not much interest about anybody else getting healed. It's always about themselves. And you know what? They don't ever end up with much. I'm interested in other people being well. I hate to see people sick. You know, I was in the hospital. I felt so bad for people in there. Here I am. I know, understand about healing and how it works. I'm being blessed by God. And man, there's people around me who are just downright sick. I mean, they're having a terrible time. People are fighting for their life. You know, I'm in the cardiac ward and I'm there smiling and others ain't smiling. I'm interested in other people being well. See, we get so self-focused. You get on the inside of me. See, what's in you is important for others. That's why teaching on healing is so... I hate to see people sick. God don't. The Lord talked to me years ago when I first got born again about how what he thought about was sickness. Man, he hates it. His great love is to heal people and people to be well. He wants his church. He told me above anything, I want my people to be well and whole. He said the devil steals their money and the devil steals and they can't, he said, can't follow my will and my plan for their life because they're sick. So they get robbed. They get robbed. And see, that's what God looks at. People getting robbed. He wants people well. He wants people whole. And see, you get over in that area. See, that's what I want. This is just about me. I don't want we well. I want you well too. I teach what I teach because I want you well. I want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you walk in health, that you're full of life in you, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in you is quickening your body. You're hooked up to that. Hallelujah. That you're hooked up to that life in you and it's working in you. Glory to God. That's what God wants. That's the nature of God. It's the nature of God. Hallelujah. See, we want to pick up on a given and a given. See, you have to follow this, the nature in you. That's why you want to be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost will always lead you in line with the nature in you. Hallelujah. It's not something foreign. It's not something weird. Glory to God. It's good. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, our desire is to do what you want. Hallelujah. That's what we want. Lord God, I thank you for all that you've taught us and all you instruct us in. But Lord, our main purpose, we want to fulfill your will, your plans and your purposes for our life. Lord God, Lord, I had a lot of wonderful ideas that I had thought things in the past and things, but they weren't your plans. They weren't your purposes, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray for these right here. These are your people. You bought them with a price. You own them. No man owns them. You own them. Hallelujah. You paid for them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're yours. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, today for that. And Lord God, Lord, you have plans and purposes for their lives. Lord God, things that you desire that they accomplish and that they fulfill. Lord God, Lord, for the blessing, whatever you how you've gifted them and what you've done. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, my greatest desire is they fulfill that, whatever it might be. Lord, I don't know what all they're supposed to do, but you know, Lord God. And Father, and I pray for them, Lord God, that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so they can walk worthy of you, Lord, in all pleasing. Lord God, Father, that, Lord, I want them to be blessed in every way, Lord God, that Jesus already won for them, Lord God, the health and the wealth and the soundness of mind, Lord God, that was given to them, that is theirs today, not sometime in the future. Lord God, you're not holding back from them. You're not holding any wisdom back from them at all. Lord God, understanding, the Bible says that wisdom cries out in the streets. Lord God, I thank you, wisdom comes for you. The Holy Ghost is in them. The great wise God is living inside of them. And I thank you, wisdom is rising up in them today. I thank you, Lord God, there's things that they heard today, Lord God, that was quickened in them, Lord God, that stirred up the life that's inside of them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that they're taking a hold of it today, Lord God. Lord, today is a step into a greater glory. Today is a time of stepping into a place, Lord God, into a higher level and a higher place, Lord God, of freedom. Lord God, Lord, that they would say in their mouths, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. We have a great God, a good God, hallelujah, who only has thoughts of good for us, hallelujah, and of not of evil, but thoughts of good. His desire is to bless us. And I thank you, Lord God, you blessed us through Jesus Christ. You've already, the scripture says, Lord God, in Ephesians, that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I thank you right now, Lord God, we receive it right now that we are fully blessed. We're fully blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Say that after me. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to be blessed. I am blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me with every blessing. Boy, am I blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you're blessed. You're blessed. Hallelujah. You're blessed. You're blessed. Now, what we want to do, see, you are blessed. See, get that in you. See, I used to start to confess all the time, I am blessed. I am blessed. And then I started, God, I want to know about all these blessings. See, that's where the Word of God, Holy Spirit, bring revelation to me. When I read the Word, reveal to me all that you've given and done to me. Reveal those things to me. See, that's His job. Now, that's it. The Holy Ghost's job is to take the Word and reveal it to you. We read last week, the job of the Holy Spirit, He said, the Holy Spirit, He knows everything God knows. And it says, and He would reveal it to us. See, He didn't say, well, He'll reveal some of it and maybe a little bit of it. No. His job is to take everything that God knows and shows it to you. Now, don't die. He ain't going to pipe it on you right away. I think He'd probably kill us and our little mind would just, I don't know. But He'll start revealing to you the blessings of God. Hallelujah. All these blessings. We're blessed. And think about it. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. See, as we've talked about this before. See, we're not trying to get the mind of Christ. It says we have it. See, that needs to be the thing that you decree. And you start saying, I have the mind of Christ. I'm not trying to get it. I have it. I have the mind of Christ. See, it might not like seem to you that you got 0.1% of it. But you can't talk that. You got to speak by faith from your mouth. If the Bible says that you have the mind of Christ, you should never have another word or listen to anybody else that says anything else about it. Because anything else is a lie. I don't care if it's your favorite preacher. It's a lie. The Word says you have the mind of Christ. And you must. Does the Holy Ghost live in you? Is He the mind of Christ? Surely He is. He's the mind of God. And you got it. My God, you got it. Hallelujah. So we're not trying to get it. Just receive it. And you receive it by your confession. Saying, I have it. Instead of, well, I'm just trying to get the mind of God. Oh, I hear Christians say that. And I say, stop it. Quit saying that. Say, I have the mind of God. I got it. It might not seem like I have it. I may not, but I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to say different because I'm going to say what the Word says. And if I do, I'll get the mind of God. You want to be led by the Spirit? You can't talk against the Word. To talk against the Word is to speak against Christ. And the Holy Ghost and you ain't going to get along, you speaking against the Word of God. Say what the Word says. Don't seem like it's working for you at all. Matters not. The Holy Ghost will help you come into line to anything that you will decree concerning the Word. That the Word says that you have and you say, I got it. It's mine. I have it. Anything that you decree, anything that you say that the Scripture says you have and you decree it, the Holy Ghost will help you come into the fullness of that. See, I have been for years and years. I've been for over 30 years confessing this stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, it works. It works. It works. Hallelujah. I have never lacked for knowledge of God. In fact, I've had God come to me to teach me things and tell me things I've never even asked Him about or anything. But you know, when He knows you're over-operating in this area, He just wants to come forth and He's looking for somebody who's going to believe that He'd just give them something. He's excited. Why? It's within the nature of God to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. So don't ever treat yourself in a manner that belittles your nature. Don't ever do that. Don't ever get into religion. Most Christians you get around will belittle the nature within them. The majority of them do. Majority of Christians talk down on themselves as being a Christian. Not good enough. Not ever having enough, not ever God ever be able to give enough, and we're just this. And I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I am not a sinner. I was a sinner. When I got saved, I became a child of God. I am not a sinner anymore. My nature is not to sin. It is not normal for Ed to sin. It is normal for sinners to sin. It is not normal. If you sin, that ain't normal. Do you like it when you sin? How many? Isn't it exciting? Don't you just get excited when you... No. What happens when we sin? Our conscience bothers. See? You know what your conscience is? That's the nature of the new man on the inside. It says, I don't like that doing that. I don't want that. I don't like my flesh doing that. I don't like my mind thinking about that. That's the nature, the real you on the inside saying, I don't like that. See, that's why this nature in you is a wonderful safeguard. This is your life in you. Hallelujah. You know, if you didn't have the Holy Ghost in you, you could still live right because you have the nature to live right. If you'll just listen to it, you listen to what's in the inside of you, you live right. Hallelujah. And then God stuck the Holy Ghost in there. Woo! Hallelujah! Man! See, it is. And if you walk according to that nature, just stay with that nature inside of you. Hallelujah. And that nature is desire, is to live what's right. There's many things that you have done where you've missed the mark, but it's been your flesh and your unrenewed mind. The inner man wasn't doing it. The real you wasn't behind it. The real you criticized you for doing it. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't God condemning you. He don't do that. It's your own born-again nature saying, knock it off. In other words, I don't like living like that. I don't like doing that. It's on the inside of us. See, the real us didn't sin. The real us, the real person on the inside, it was on the outside. It was walking, you know, somebody did something, and you let the flesh rise up, and you wanted to hold it against them. And the whole time you knew on the inside, it wasn't right to do. On the inside, you knew I shouldn't be doing that. I need to forgive. That's the nature on the inside. What? The real you didn't sin. And see, you need to learn the difference between your inner man and your outer man. You need to learn the difference between the two. Many people criticize their own spiritual nature, saying because of what the outer nature did. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that man's, you know, his nature was to always sin. That's not the New Testament. That was the Old Testament. They weren't born again. They did have the sin nature. Their nature was to do wrong. But that's not your nature. If your nature is just to sin, you are not a Christian. You're not a Christian. If you just want to sin, that's not the nature of the Christian. Man, I go to bed at night, I always have to repent if I've done something because when I get quiet, then I can hear the inner man saying, you know you shouldn't have done that. Maybe you don't have that problem. But see, the inner man doesn't want to sin. So you need to be careful. So your inner man wants to follow God. The inner man is born again. His desire is to follow God. His man doesn't want to sin. We're still dealing with the flesh. And see, if you learn to listen to the Holy Ghost on the inside, He'll teach you how to bring the outer man into submission. He'll teach you how to do that. And so, listen. Listen to the inner. Listen. Spend time listening to the Holy Ghost because He will teach you on how to deal with this outer man so he don't dominate so much. There's one of the things that you're going to, let me just say this, you're going to have to do. If you want to bring the flesh under, you're having trouble in an area, you're going to spend time over in prayer, taking time to pray in other tongues. You don't have to do that. Do something spiritual. Let the inner man do some talking. Let the inner man, because what we have from the scripture, it tells us we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, building that inner man up where he becomes stronger than the outer man. Letting him take over and take the supremacy. You want to do that. It'll help you. It's what Jesus, concerning even the disciples, he told them to pray lest you fall into temptation. Well, what's the temptation? The flesh. The flesh wants to, you know. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, is the weakness of my flesh greater than the strength of my spirit? If it is, I'm in trouble. If I've let the weakness of my flesh gain such an ascendancy over the strength of my inner man, It'll dominate. See, I got to build the inner man up and let him have the strength to bring out the outer man into line. Hallelujah. That has a lot to do with healing and everything. Because the outer man, he wants it. He'll just go roll over and play dead. But you want to get things turned on in the inside. Father, hallelujah. Father, we want to walk in line with the Word and whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I just want to ask, it just keeps coming up. And is anybody, you're dealing with a health problem and you want to be prayed for? The Lord told me, I just keeps coming up inside of me. If anybody has dealing with the area of health and they want to be prayed for, we'll pray for you. Come on down. The price is right, whatever it is. Hallelujah. You get to come down. That's what it just is up inside of me. If somebody does, it's an opportunity. If everybody's okay, it's good. I hope you folks are taking your flu shots. I hope you are. No, is in the Word, meditating on the Word concerning healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do that. Make confessions. I have things that I say. I have certain things of confessions I say concerning my body. And I say them all the time concerning my body and its health, concerning sickness and disease trying to come on me. I say it's not allowed to. Hallelujah. We're not going there. Glory to God. We're not going to put up with that. Saying, decreeing those things. Keep yourself over in doing that. You know, I have things that I put together. They're from scriptures, and there are certain scriptures I put together. I'll write them out, though, not necessarily exactly like the scripture says it, but I put it in vernacular that is for me to say. And I say those things, and I make statements concerning that. I speak things concerning prosperity, concerning myself all the time, concerning my giving. And it coming back to me, I say those things all the time. And I speak those things out all the time. Why? Because, you know, you don't want to wait till you have a need, then you start in this. Because you're already working behind the eight ball. You're already behind on the thing. You have these things where you're saying. So if something comes up as a need, you turn around, smile, and you're not confessing because, oh my God, I got this problem. And now you're saying confessions because of what you're worried about and not because of your faith. Say, praise God, I've been already speaking. I'll tell you what, that money I need is coming to me. I'm having the money I need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you're saying those things. And what happens? You're not driven. Many times Christians are praying about things they're fearful of. That's not going to produce anything. That's not going to produce anything godly. See, you don't want to do that. We ain't praying by fear because of our worries or what's going to happen. We always want to operate by faith. And faith will always have a smile. Hallelujah. Praise God. Looks like we're going under, but I have a smile on it. I don't care what it looks like. The Word's performing for me. Hallelujah. It's a work. And see, I'm acting like it's true. I'm acting like the Word's true. When I tell you what, my flesh says, please let me cry. Please let me cry. I want to cry. I want to be afraid. I want to know. I want to act like it ain't going to work. Come on, let me act like it ain't going to work. I said, no, we ain't going there. Hallelujah. I'm going to make you smile. Hallelujah. You're going to have to smile about it. Hallelujah. God's providing all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Health follows me. I'll tell you what, I'm just full of health in the name of Jesus. I'm full of life in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same Spirit. How could the same Spirit raise Jesus from the dead be inside of me? Glory to God. And me worrying about having enough power for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If the resurrection power of Jesus, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, if there's enough resurrection in me, how on earth couldn't you get your body healed when you have enough to raise you from the dead? If there's enough in you to raise you from the dead, how couldn't you have enough to heal? I mean, dear Lord, are we trying to get God to heal? Oh, God, send us healing power. That's saying, God, you know, you didn't give me the Holy Ghost. You know, you gave me some lame guy inside of me that's limping or something, or he's, you know, he don't have enough to take care of himself, so how is he going to take care of me? No, we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I drop over, I'll just raise up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil couldn't kill me. He wanted to, and he couldn't. Hallelujah. Why? He didn't have say in it. As number one, God taught me, don't give him no say in it. You don't give him say. I had already had my say before anything ever came along. I had already had my say. Glory to God, because God gave me my say. He told me what to say. And I've been saying hallelujah and speaking those things. Speaking life, glory to God. And keep speaking life over you. Don't speak death. Don't, You know, don't sit down and watching the news all the time and worrying about what somebody else is doing out there and these crazy people. I don't pay no attention to them anymore. Hallelujah. God's laughing at them. I'm joining God's club. Glory to God. He thinks it's funny what they're doing. God thinks it's funny. Why? Because they're trying to operate against him what he's doing. He thinks it's funny. Why? Because they can't win and they ain't going to win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God's going to win this day. And somebody else, I just feel sorry for them. They're so dumb. Hallelujah. I just pray the poor knuckleheads wake up and see. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if they don't, they're going to get run over. And it ain't going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. No, I'm not looking for, I don't want them to have bad. I'd rather have them get in and enjoy the blessing of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord God, as we leave here full of life. We're children of God. We're born of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is in us. Hallelujah. And we have the very nature of God. And Father, we just leave this place today recognizing our place of seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. Lord God, I want to thank you for health that's working in us, Lord God. Divine health that's, Lord God, quickening our bodies and making it alive. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Resurrection power is working in us. Lord God, affecting every area of our body from our toes to the top of our head. Our minds work clearly. We're not forgetful. We're not like people who, Lord God, as they say today, well, our minds are gone. Our minds ain't gone. We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, the Holy Ghost mind is in us and he ain't ever forgot a thing. Glory to God, I thank you for being able to think clearly. Lord God, revelation comes to us. Understanding, comprehension of the word comes freely to us. We're quick to pick it up. We're quick to understand it. We're quick to walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we're full of knowledge. Hallelujah. Lord God, the wisdom to carry out the word of God. Lord God, we're a wise people. Hallelujah. Just as wisdom crawls out in the street, we're full of wisdom to give to others. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord God, money comes to us freely in the name of Jesus. Money chases after us. Hallelujah. Lord God, because we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed. Coming in, going out, up, down, whatever. Hallelujah. We're the blessed people of the Lord. We give and it's given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. People are coming from all over the place just to give us money. Hallelujah. Lord God. And things, Lord God. Things that we need to bless us. Lord God, because we're givers. Hallelujah. And we give and give and give. And you give and give to us. Lord God, what a vicious cycle that brings glory to God. And we thank you for it, Lord God, because we're full of life and not death. Hallelujah. We're full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we thank you, Lord God. We're going to live every day like this till Jesus comes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.